And I pray that everyone here this morning will be blessed by God's word, and today we'll leave here with a real sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. So before we open up God's word today, I'd like to pray and ask for his blessing, and for him to open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts to hear what he has to say, not what Doug Lake has to say. And I pray that we all can be blessed by God's word today. Let's pray. Father God, it's all in your hands. There's nothing we can do that will make a difference without you. You are in control, Lord. And you know, God, this whole message is about you and your glory, and your honor, who you are, and what you're willing to do through us if we would only have our faith in you. And God, we thank you that you would give us the privilege and the honor to serve in your army. We thank you that once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're automatically inducted into the army of God. What a privilege and an honor that is. God, please bless us today as we read your word. Show us what your intent is for us as we walk in your army. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, we're going to explore some of Joshua today, and we're going to parallel the battles that Joshua was going into to the battles that we go into in the spiritual realm. A spiritual battle. We fight a spiritual battle, not a physical one, right? So before we do, just to refresh our memories, and maybe there's some here that never heard of the story, I give you a little background of Joshua and how we get to where we're at before we get to the text we're at right now. The Israelites were delivered out of slavery, out of Egypt. And there's quite a significance already, because if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are also delivered out of slavery. And the Israelites were delivered out of slavery, but they wandered the desert for 40 years. That's a long time. And way back when God told Moses to send 12 spies into the land of Canaan, to spy out Canaan. And so Moses sent out 12, one to represent each one of the tribes. And they spied out Canaan, and they came to a place called Hebron, where there were people there who were ancestors of Anak. And these were giant men, scary men. So most of the spies who came back, they were scared to death. They said, oh, no way am I battling with those guys. There's no way I'm even going there. We can't win. These guys are huge. But there was two men. There was two men who knew that they served in the army of God, who had confidence in God. They knew who they served. And they said, no problem, we can kick giant butt any day. We are in the army of God, right? We serve a living God. There's nothing that can come against that. So out of that, those two spies, Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two men who out of all the tribe at that time who lived long enough to enter into the promised land. Moses was not allowed to enter in the promised land because of a lack of faith. I talked about this yesterday. A lack of faith because, you know, God told him, the Israelites were thirsty. God told him, you know, this is how you're going to get some water. You're going to speak to this rock. Water's going to come from this rock. But Moses had to put his own little spin on it and whack it with a stick a couple of times. Right? It was a lack of faith. It was trying to get a little bit of glory for himself. He says, I'll tell you. He says, we're going to give you some water. If God doesn't get all the glory, then there's going to be some ramifications from that. God needs to have all the glory. God deserves to have all the glory. It didn't happen by Joshua whacking the rock with a stick. Anyways, To carry on, we come to the book of Joshua, because Joshua, God told Moses that Joshua was going to lead these people, the Israelites, into the promised land that they had been promised. The last time I was up here, this thing kept falling over on me. So it's a long ways away. Lift it up here. So we're going to start, we're going to read a little bit from Joshua. First, we should know what the word, the name Joshua means. Joshua was changed by Moses from Hoshea. That was his name. Hoshea, son of Nun. Right? Hoshea means salvation. But Joshua, more specifically, means salvation is of the Lord. Starting in verse 1 in Joshua, chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, is my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or from the left, or to the left, that they may be successful wherever they go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The first thing we need to know before we step out in the battle for God, first thing we need to know when we're in the Lord's army is, what is our goal? What? Joshua knew what his goal was. He was going to claim the land that God had promised. He was going to walk into that land and take what God had given them. What is our goal in this spiritual battle that we fight? What is our goal? I want you to turn your Bibles. Before you turn your Bibles there, I want you to say, we're going to come back to Joshua. To make it easier, I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. I think it's drier up here than it is down there. Jesus was beginning his ministry, and he walks into the synagogue. And as tradition, they pass him a scroll. And the scroll was from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, he opens up a part and he reads from the prophet Isaiah like no one has ever read before. Because this has to do with him, right? And he reads from the prophet, starting in verse 18 in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said, this is why I come. This is the purpose I come. This was Jesus' goal. If we are in the army of the Lord, and we seek to do his will, and we have his living spirit inside of us, wouldn't it make sense that his goal would be our goal? Before we go in the army, we need to know what we're going out for. To preach good news to the poor. To see the captives get set free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In the Lord's army, that's got to be our goal. That's got to be our purpose. We were saved not to ourselves, but for a purpose. Everything we do for the glory of God. We do for his praise and for his honor. And when we're seeking to do his will, that's exactly what we're doing. are seeking to see the captives set free. Jesus come to set the captives free. Jesus still wants to set the captives free, but he's using us. His spirit lives in us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ to do that. He's still doing the same work that he came to do that day. That's the goal of the Lord's army. This is what I believe. Our primary purpose. And while we're doing it, we may say that it's our goal is to give God glory. But everything we do should give God glory. The second thing we need to know about battle, Lord, is God initiates that battle. God initiates it. We read in Joshua, if we go back to Joshua, chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them. God initiates. God says, now then. Joshua didn't come up with his own plan and sit on the river Jordan and say, you know what? We're going to wait till the water goes down. Then we're going to cross over to the other side. We're going to take them by surprise. We're going to scale the walls of Jericho. No, it was God's plan and God's timing. We do it how God says and how and when and where he wants us to. When I was a brand new believer, you know, I still had all my Christian diapers. I was all on fire for God. I heard that Jesus Christ died for my sins and I was excited and I wanted to see the whole world get saved. So I was excited and I wanted to do things and tell people, and you wait till everybody hears this news. You wait till everybody hears that Jesus Christ died for sins, that you could be set free, that we don't have to die in our sins. If we can have freedom in Jesus, all we got to do is put our faith in him. And I was so excited and I wanted everybody to know it. So I come up with this plan. God, I'm going to do this. I got my wife to make a bunch of sandwiches and sweets. And I rented the Portapac Hall. We lived in this place called East Montrose. And I was going to see everybody in East Montrose get saved. That's not a great feat if you know how many live in East Montrose. But I was excited. And Portapac Hall, I rented that, and we made up invitations and we put them all in mailboxes. And my wife was so gracious to support me through this all. And I didn't know a whole lot, but I prepared a message. It's around Christmas time. And I'm thinking, Christmas time, stable, baby. That's how we're gonna work. I don't remember even what I said. I know it was all about a stable, and so I made this plan, and we're going to have this big meeting, and I'm expecting the hall to be so packed. Have we got enough food? And it came to that night, and two or three guys from the church showed up as support. And my wife and children were there, and a couple came from up the road that I'd never met before, and that was it. You think it's hard preaching to 200 people? You try preaching to two. And I'm standing there, my mouth all dry, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And I'm trying to spit out this message about a stable and how God, Jesus humbled himself to come down and stay in the cave. And I was talking about the stable, and I don't know nothing about stables. I'm a hillbilly, not a farmer. Right? I know nothing about it. So I'm spitting out this message, and I was just glad it was over. And we had lots of food, by the way. I was glad that it was over. And I'm like, I was down and out. I was feeling. And that, on top of it, the guy that was sitting there, he knew all kinds of stuff about stables. He was almost an expert on it, as far as I was concerned. And he wasn't long rebuking me and telling me where I went wrong afterwards. Well, as if I hadn't been beaten down enough, now I had this guy coming. So I'm just like, oh, God, All I wanted to do was tell people about Jesus. But you know what was wrong? Is that was my plan. That wasn't God's plan. God didn't initiate that. I was all excited about Jesus, but I didn't wait on him. I wanted to do it. I didn't want to wait for him. And sometimes waiting is the hardest thing we can do when we're in the army of the Lord. Sometimes waiting is so hard. The next thing that I've listed, and this list is not in any order by any means. I just randomly listed them. Is we need to know who the enemy is. We need to know who the enemy is. Joshua knew who the enemy was. It's all the ites. You know? The Jebusites. Hittites. He knew that it was the ones who stood in the way from claiming what God had promised them. But our enemy is different. And the spiritual battle is different. And you knew we were going to go there if we were talking about spiritual battle, but we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Many of you are familiar with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I don't say this to say that we can look at all of our weaknesses, and every time we fall, a friend of mine and I had this talk not that long ago. I'm not talking about this individual battle where we struggle each day with our own weakness and our own sin. I'm not talking about that and we blame it on the devil. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the bigger picture. I'm talking about the battle between good and evil. I'm talking this morning about not necessarily who the enemy is, but who the enemy isn't. It's not against flesh and blood, Paul says. It's not against flesh and blood. That means it's not against our nasty boss or our annoying neighbor or our rebellious teenage son or daughter. It's not even against the ungodly parent. These are the captives that need to be set free. Jesus says we need to pray for our enemies. These are who he's talking about. Not thy enemy. We need to know who our enemies are and who they're not. Sometimes we even make enemies out in the army itself. Sometimes our enemies, we think are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we know that that is wrong. Those are our comrades. We put each arms around each other and we fight together. Which brings us to the next point. Are you ready? We've talked a lot about what the battle is, our goals, who the enemy is. But we haven't really gone to battle yet, have we? You're ready to take positions to make the first move of battle? Many of you know where I'm going here. You get ready. You fight on your knees. Because the battle is the Lord's battle. It's not our battle at all. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who fights for us. He's the one. If you go a little further in Ephesians, in chapter 6, starting in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and what? Pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Pray also for me that wherever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We can't go into battle without prayer. Prayer is the essence of our faith. Prayer is essential to our faith. May I suggest that prayer without faith is not really prayer at all? Prayer is where we need to have a heart for prayer, because prayer is our total dependence upon God, our total reliance upon Him. That's saying, I can't do anything, God, without You. I need You. I love You. Prayer can't be a repetitive thing where we think it's a chore that, oh man, I forgot to pray today. Prayer can't be something that we rehearse over and over again. Prayer needs to be with passion. We're going to spend time with the Lord God Almighty as His child, relying totally upon Him. And when we go out, we know that He goes before us, because we have dependent and reliant upon God. God fights that battle for us. God fights the battle. We have to know that before we go or do anything. I want to turn back to Joshua, just a few pages before Joshua, Deuteronomy chapter 31. This goes along with what I was just talking about. This is what happened before Joshua was told to cross into the promised land. Moses was still alive. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all of Israel. I am now 120 years old. That's even older than you, Dennis. I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God Himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of the land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord has said. Joshua also cross over ahead of you. Lord goes first. That's the same thing today in our battle. The Lord has to go first. This is significant when we look at salvation, and we look at people who say, well, I just want to make this point. If today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not put your faith in Him, and today you, God is tugging and pulling at your heart, God is doing a work on your heart, then today is the day of salvation. If you can't say, well, maybe tomorrow, because it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't. The time doesn't depend on us. The place doesn't depend on us. Salvation is of the Lord. We can't choose the time and place. It's by His Spirit that we know the truth. He reveals that truth to us. That's why when we go out, we have to have convincing words when we preach the gospel. Sure, we have to know how to defend the hope that's in us. We have to know that. But we also have to know that God's Spirit's got to be doing a work in that person's heart in order for that truth to be revealed to them, in order for them to receive it. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Everything's of God, 100%. That's why I believe so much in eternal security. That was just another thing I had to throw in there. Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went on ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, and I was with Moses, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Ermites, Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its rivers flowing downstream be cut off and stand up in a heap. So then the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest.
Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the waters flowing down to the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The waters stopped all the way from Adam to the Dead Sea. I mentioned yesterday, I see a spiritual significance in that. There's got to be a prophetic message in that somewheres. All the way from Adam to the Dead Sea. Jesus Christ died for our sins in the same way. Faith takes action. The priests, they stepped in that water. Joshua told them to step in that water. They stepped in the water. Now, all they had to do was just put their feet in that, at the edge of that water, and that water stopped. God did a great thing just by their faith in Him, by acting out in faith. It carries on from prayer into action. We need to put our faith in action for God to work. God didn't need the Israelites to step in the water. God could have stopped the water without them stepping in it. He didn't need that to happen. But somehow He works through our faith in Him. Somehow He does that. Our sovereign God somehow uses our faith to do the works that accomplish, that He accomplishes. The last point I want to make this morning is obedience. I believe that obedience, because it's written in God's Word, not just I believe, is essential to victory in the battle. Victory is not all the time physical. Victory is knowing that we run a good race. Victory is knowing that we serve our God with conviction. Victory is knowing that God is in control. And God wants to prove that. Let's look at what He says. He says this right off the start to Joshua, starting in verse 7 of chapter 1. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful is not always material. Matter of fact, I don't believe it's material at all here. Prosperous and successful. If we obey, are obedient to God's law. Let's see what happens in Joshua. Let's turn our Bibles to chapter 7 and look what happens when one isn't obedient to what God wants us to do. Starting at verse 1. Okay, before we go into this, God had given the Israelites instructions before they went into Jericho. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take all the treasure and it belongs to me. And you're going to take the city. But I don't want you. This is what I don't want you to do. I do not want you to touch the devoted things. The King James says they are cursed things. I do not want you to touch these things. Because it's not good for you. It's not good for you. They do not belong in the Lord's army. They do not belong here. They're only going to do harm. So, this is what happens. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, and son of Zimri, the son of Zazra, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region, so that the men went up and spied out Ai. So this is what they done after they took Jericho. After these men were disobedient and took some of the devoted things. So this is the place they're going to go next. So this is what happened. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it.
And do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll take this place easy. We got it under control. So about 3,000 men went up. But when they routed the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them, they chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same, and they sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan." Wow, does that ever sound like the Israelites leaving Egypt? "Oh Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your great name?" Wow, that's quite a way to talk to God. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up! What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I have commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them in their own possessions. That is why Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be able to be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." To steal a word from the gangsters of our day, when we go out into the world, we represent Jesus Christ. If we are dabbling in anything that does not belong within the army of God, it does not speak of His character, because that's who we represent. We're ambassadors to Jesus Christ. If we don't represent Him in the world that we walk in, if we're caught up in a dirty joke or sitting in a place where we don't belong, which is ungodly, doing ungodly things, God's saying, "That doesn't represent me. I can't bless that. You're out there. You're supposed to be representing me. That doesn't do it. You're out there serving me. God is holy and mighty. We cannot have victory unless we are obedient to His will. Not complete victory. We can't. We're out to serve our God. We have purpose and meaning in our lives. We are children of God. What an honor, what a glory to be able to watch and walk in this world as in the army of the Lord." I use this verse because it's one of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:8. In a talk we had with the young boys when we went camping not too long ago. Because it's really something to keep in mind. It's really a good verse to keep in your heart and in your mind as we walk out into the world. Because it's hard to live in this world. It's hard to live as a child of God. But we get on our knees before the battle and we pray that God would go before us. We have an advantage. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us to guide us and teach us and show us the way. We pray every morning. We should be praying in the morning. We should be doing our devotions in the morning, reading our word in the morning. That's why I believe so much in the morning, because that is before we go out in the battle. Later on, we've fought half the battle. If we're fighting the battle and we're not laying down in the trenches, not fighting at all, not knowing that we have a purpose to serve as God's children, to give Him glory, to see the captives set free. That is our purpose and our meaning in life. This is who we serve. We've given our hearts to Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble. I often thought when I kneeled before God this morning, I visioned this. This might be crazy to you guys. I visioned this. a knight kneeling before his king, saying, God, King, Lord, I serve you today. I want my life to represent you. I know that you fight the battle for me, and I am honored to serve my king as a noble knight. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned from me, and this is Paul talking, not me, because I can learn this as well, from me, or received or heard from me, or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What an honor and a privilege it is to serve in the army of God. And we do have a mission if we choose to take it. It's a great commission. We to give God glory in everything we do. We are to worship together. We are to walk alongside of each other, arm in arm as soldiers, wounded in battle, fighting for one another, defending one another, praying for one another, worshiping with one another. We honor one God. We are one body. We are under the head of Jesus Christ. And we walk proudly, not of ourselves, but because we serve the living God who lives, Spirit lives in us, and he who lives in us is greater than he is in the world. And nothing can stand against us because we serve God. What an honor, what a privilege. If you're here today and God did speak anything to your heart, and you've never put your faith in him, you've never trusted Jesus Christ died for your sins. You've never understood by revelation from God that, yes, he died for me. And I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That is on your heart today. Don't put it off. Because today is the day of salvation. Thank you, Father God, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the privilege and honor of serving you. Thank you that you are in control. We are not left to ourselves. Thank you, God. Just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.